Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you've joined us today as we continue in our teaching series of Bob Christopher's Top 10 Favorite Passages. This is a study session, so no live phone calls today, but if you have a question, you can still send us a voicemail at 844-322-2742, and you can do that now or anytime. Again, 844-322-2742. If you prefer to write your question, you can send Bob an email. His address is bob@basicgospel.net. That's about as simple as it gets, bob@basicgospel.net. Either way, we'll be glad to hear from you, and we promise to give you an answer on the air as soon as possible. But for right now, let's get today's program underway. It's Bob Christopher's Top 10 Favorite Passage, number 9, as a matter of fact. And Bob, what's it going to be?
Number 9, it is Romans 6, verses 1 through 14.
All right.
And it's hard to pick because Romans 6, 7, and 8 are just powerful passages. Romans 5 as well.
Yeah.
And you really need to see those as an entire group. Get that message from Romans 5, 1 all the way to the end of Romans 8. It's really, really powerful. But I couldn't teach through all of that in one 25-minute session. So I narrowed it down to Romans 6, 1 through 14. And the reason I like this passage is because it relates the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to you and me. So just as Christ died 2,000 years ago, we die in him through faith. Just as he was buried, our old man was crucified, and it is buried. And then he was raised, and so we too are raised to walk in the newness of life. So we see that gospel story becomes our story.
Right.
We get caught up in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that becomes our new reality. That becomes our new experience as children of God. So that's why I really like this particular passage, verses 1 through 14, Romans chapter 6. I've divided this up into three sections, and so the first section is the first four verses. And those verses read this: what shall we say then? So Paul starts with a question, and he has just finished up in chapter 5 saying things like, where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. And so he knew there was going to be some questions that would come about as a result of those powerful words that he wrote there. And here's one of those: are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? That's what all the skeptics of grace ask. They raise that question: are you just saying that now we have a license to sin? And his answer to that is by no means, or absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still live in it? So when we identify with Christ, just as he died to sin once and for all, we die to sin in our own experience. And then he says, do you not know? And here's a phrase that Paul uses quite often through the book of Romans. He uses it in his letter to the Corinthians as well. And this is stuff that we ought to know as believers in Christ. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. So the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ becomes our story. So when we hear this good news of Jesus Christ, when we hear that he died, when we hear that he was buried and that he was raised back to life, and we believe that, we receive that good news, then this is what happens. We get identified with Christ. We get placed into Christ. That's what baptism is all about. So we are identified with him in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection. So let's just kind of look at these first four verses. So shall we continue in sin that grace may increase? Well, Paul answers, absolutely not. And if we understand the reality of this salvation that we have in Christ, that's going to be our answer as well.
Sure.
Absolutely not. Why? Because grace isn't a license to sin. Grace is a license to live life to the full through faith in Jesus Christ. We were dead in trespasses and sins before we came to know Christ. So we followed the ways of this world. We followed the prince of the power of darkness. We lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. We were under the control of sin and death. Those two things mastered our life, controlled our life. Well, when we come to Christ, we're set free from sin and death so that we can live a new life in Him. So grace isn't a license to sin. Grace is a license to live this new life to the full by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what this new life is all about. And so then he asked the question, do you not know? And he lists four things in these several verses about truths that we should know. So do you not know, first, that you were baptized into Christ, that you came into this world in Adam, you were under his family headship, and now through faith in Jesus Christ, you have been taken out of Adam, transferred out of Adam, and placed or baptized into Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. So now Jesus is your new family head.
Yeah.
Your identity is through that relationship, through that identification with him. So do you not know that you were baptized into Christ, which means that you were baptized into his death?
Right.
So his death has become your death. So he died to sin. What have you done? You've died to sin by identifying with him, that you were buried with Christ by baptism into death. So he died. Joseph of Arimathea was given his body, and Joseph of Arimathea put that body into a borrowed tomb. And that body was laid to rest right there. The women came on the first day of the week to anoint that body with spices and wrap it and all the things that they did for burial. And when they got there, the body was gone. But that body had been buried. Well, what does that mean? It means that that life has come to an end. So when we've been identified with Christ in his burial, it means that our old life as sinners, our old life as folks who were dead in trespasses and sins, has come to an end. It's done. It's over. It's run its course.
Yeah.
It's dead and buried. And so as we've been identified with Christ in his burial, we're also identified with him in his resurrection. So we're raised so that we can walk in the newness of life. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ has now become our story.
And our identity.
Yes, indeed.
Wrapped up in all of that. Thank you, Bob, for those thoughts. Friends, it is session 9 of Bob Christopher's Top 10 Favorite Passages, taking a look today at Romans 6, 1 through 14. And we're pausing for just a moment to remind you that we need your help to continue broadcasting and streaming this good news of Jesus Christ every day, right here at Basic Gospel. So please help us keep this message going. Click donate at basicgospel.net. Click that big prominent donate link right there on the homepage, basicgospel.net, and help with your gift today. Well, it is session 9, as we said, and it's Romans 6, 1 through 14. And Bob, this is good stuff. Let's just keep it rolling.
Well, it is good stuff. It's just a powerful chapter, a life-changing chapter, especially these first 14 verses. This next section is verses 5 through 11, and he really talks about some practical implications for you and me. Now that we've been identified with Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, what does that mean for us on a practical, everyday basis? How do we live our lives now identified with Christ? So he starts out this section, for if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So the first thing, as far as a practical application, a practical implication of this good news story in our life, is that we have hope. So just as he was raised from the dead physically, there's going to come a time in the future when our bodies are raised, and
right,
the perishable puts on imperishable, the mortal puts on immortality. We're going to have a body like his. So in the meantime, we know this. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. So what do we have as children of God? We have freedom. We have liberty. We have freedom from sin and death. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. And we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So we've been united with him in death, and we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. That's our hope as believers in Christ Jesus. But in the meantime, we know that our old self that was dead in trespasses and sins, that old self that had no connection to God, that old self that had a hole in its heart, that old self has been crucified and is dead and gone. Now, why did that happen? So that the body of sin, this body that we still live in, might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. So what is God's desire for you and for me? God's desire for us is freedom. He doesn't want us to be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, pay attention to that. One who has died has been set free from sin. So have you died? Absolutely. We've just read this. You have died in Christ Jesus. So what does it mean that sin's reign in your life has come to an end? You have died to sin once and for all. That's good news. So since you have died to sin, then sin no longer has rule and reign in your life. There's this great illustration. I've heard it a number of times, but say you live in an apartment and it's owned by a landlord that's pretty mean and pretty evil and is always getting on to you and making sure you get the rent in on time. And when you miss a payment, boy, he punishes you like never before. And every time you walk out of your apartment door or you come in, you want to make sure you don't run into that landlord.
Yeah.
Well, say somebody comes along and buys that apartment building. Well, once ownership has been transferred, then you have no obligation to the old landlord. But here's the deal. The new landlord has allowed the old one to have a place in that building. Well, sin still has a place in these bodies of ours, but we have no obligation to that sin that's in our members. It's no longer ruling and reigning over us. Why? Because we're under new ownership. We now belong to Jesus Christ. So that's what Paul is saying here, that we've died with Christ and we believe that we will live with him. We've died and we've been set free from sin. Now he goes on to say that we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. So that body that he inhabited 2,000 years ago, that body was subject to sin and death. And when he took upon himself the sins of the world, guess what happened? That body died.
Yes.
That body was put in a grave, and then a new body came out. Well, it was his old body, but it had changed. It had been transformed, and that new body is never going to die. That new body is immortal. So he died to sin. He died to sin once and for all, and now that the life he lives to God, and that's the same for you and me. So just as that happened for him, we too must consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So when sin comes knocking on our door, when the temptations of this world start trying to tug at us, when the desires of those flesh, of that flesh, starts to intensify, we can simply say, I'm dead to you. I'm dead to these temptations. I'm dead to that flesh, those desires of the flesh. I'm dead to sin. Why? Because I died in Christ, and I have been raised to walk in the newness of Christ, in the newness of life. Mm-hmm. I'm dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Count it so. Why? Because it is so. This is the truth about you. Just as Christ died to sin, you too have died to sin. You've been raised to walk in the newness of life.
And this is just good news, just the best that it could possibly be. But you know what? Knowing the truth and being reminded of God's love and grace every day can help you start that day with hope and joy, knowing that you are indeed a child of the living God. And that's what we want for you here at Basic Gospel. And we provided a daily devotional to help you enter into that each morning. Subscribe today, and you can start tomorrow in the sure knowledge that you are a dearly loved child of God. The devotional is free, and you can start your subscription right now at basicgospel.net/subscribe. And we hope you'll subscribe today. Again, it's basicgospel.net/subscribe. Okay, let's continue now with Bob's favorite passage, number 9. We're talking about Romans 6, 1 through 14.
Well, we've gotten down to verse 12, and this is kind of the final section, so let me just read these last several verses. So Paul says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." So not only have we been taken out of Adam and placed into Christ, we're no longer in the realm of sin and death. We're no longer under the control of sin. Now we are in the grace of God. Mm-hmm. That's the realm of our existence today. So Paul says this, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body." At one time, sin reigned in your mortal body.
Indeed.
No matter what you wanted to do, sin always had the final call. Why? Because sin was in control. So don't let that reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. You've died to Christ, so reckon that so. You have no obligation to that sin that lives in your members. That sin is going to constantly tug at you. Yeah. That's what it does. But it's not you, and that's what you have to realize. Mm-hmm. You're not the sin that lives in your members. You're a new creation. You're a child of the living God. You have died in Christ. You have been raised to walk in the newness of life. So when sin comes knocking, then just disregard.
Yes.
Don't pay attention. Don't let it reign in your mortal body. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness. If you present your members to sin, then what's going to flow out is unrighteousness. Well, you've been made righteous. You once were unrighteous, but now you've been cleansed, you've been forgiven, and you have been made righteous. So your obligation is to someone else, to the person who is now in charge. Sin was once in charge, but now Jesus is in charge. So don't present your members to sin, but present yourselves. Here's the good news. Your members, the members of your body, he says, don't present those to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourself. What self is he talking about? This new self that you are in Christ Jesus. Your old self was crucified. It's dead and gone, buried. You've been raised a new self, a new creature in Christ Jesus, made the righteousness of God, made holy, made perfect, totally in union with God himself through his Spirit.
Yeah.
You have become one in spirit with Jesus Christ. So present that self to God, as those who have been brought from death to life. Why? Because that's true. The minute you believed Jesus, you crossed over from death to life. So it says, present yourself to God and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. So when you present yourself and your members to God, guess what's going to come out of you? Righteousness. Why? That's the only thing that can come out of you. Why? Because the righteous one lives in you, and the righteous one has made you righteous. And here's the reason for all of this. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you were not under law, but under grace. So when you were lost, who had dominion over you? Sin did. Sin was in charge. Sin was in control. Sin was calling the shots. Sin was leading you down the path of unrighteousness. And you had no option but to follow sin's lead. That's what it meant to be a sinner. That's what it means to be dead in trespasses and sins. That you don't have a connection to God. You have some information about God. You know in your own heart what right and wrong is, but you know that every time you try to go down that path, that sin knocks you off of it. That's just what sin does. Yeah. That's why those who are in the flesh will never please God. Why? Because every work that they produce is sourced by sin. Sin was ruling and reigning. Did you get that? Those who are in the flesh, those who are lost, will never please God. And here's the reason, because sin is calling the shots.
Yes, indeed.
So whatever you present to God has sin's fingerprints all over it. And it's not something God is going to accept.
Right.
Okay? So we had to be taken out of the flesh and placed in the Spirit. And when that happens, and it happens at the moment of salvation, we get a new person in charge, Jesus Christ himself, the very grace of God. So God's grace, when God's grace is in charge, unrighteousness is not going to be the result. Mm-hmm. It is going to be righteousness. Yeah. It's not going to be sinful living. It's going to be righteous living. And it's going to look a lot like love. Mm-hmm. Love.
Yeah.
That's what righteous living looks like.
A lot like love.
It looks a whole lot like love. And grace is going to produce that. Why? Because that's the nature and essence of grace. That's the nature and essence of Jesus Christ himself. When he died to sin, he died to sin once and for all. And the life he lives for God. Mm-hmm. So the life he lives for God is now going to be lived through us, and it's going to be a life lived for God.
Sure.
It's really simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is really, really simple. So folks, are you under the dominion of sin as a child of God? Absolutely not. Have you died in Christ? Yes, you have. Has that old self been crucified and buried? Yes, it has. Have you been raised to walk in the newness of life? Yes, you have. So consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. Recognize that grace is in control, that the life Jesus lives to God, he's living that life to God through you right now.
Right now. And Bob, that is such good news. Thanks for sharing it. And friends, it was Romans 6, 1 through 14, Bob's favorite passage, number 9 on Basic Gospel. Well, thanks for being with us for this session, everybody. We will invite your questions. If you've heard anything on Basic Gospel or anything in general, for that matter, that you'd like to pose a question about, well, the phone line is always open for you at 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. We love hearing from you, our listeners, and we'll be glad to address your question on Basic Gospel. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Also, if Basic Gospel is making a difference in your life and your family, perhaps, well, help us keep the good news coming by supporting Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. Click donate at basicgospel.net, and we would love for you to be a part and have the blessing of helping us keep it going. Again, you can donate at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back with us again on Monday after a great weekend. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.